Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the restoration of worship as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, verse 26. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of Yahweh, so shall you say unto him, thus saith Yahweh God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitants of it, and you humbled yourself before me and did tear your clothes and weep before me, I have even heard you also, saith Yahweh. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall your eyes see all of the evil that I'll bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. And so they brought the king the word again. So Huldah the prophetess affirmed that, yes, judgment is coming. The curses that God declared in the law are going to fall upon Judah because of the iniquity of their fathers. However, the judgment of God is forestalled because of the tenderness of the heart of King Josiah towards the Lord. How that when he heard these things, he tore his clothes and he began to weep before God for the sins of the people and of the nation. He humbled himself before God. And thus God said, it'll not come in your lifetime. You'll go to the grave in peace. It won't happen during your lifetime, but this judgment is definitely on the way. So the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart. Now they're standing in that place of prominence before the people in the temple. As they read to them the law of the Lord, the king publicly made a confession and made a commitment unto the Lord. A commitment to keep the Lord's commandments, the testimonies, the statutes, with all of his heart and with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in the book. And so he's going to go for it, a total commitment unto the Lord. With all my heart, with all my soul, I'm going to serve the Lord. Tremendous commitment on the part of King Josiah. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it, to affirm it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve Jehovah or Yahweh their God, and all the days they departed not from following Yahweh, the God of their fathers. Now, the temple was reopened. They began to worship at the temple again. The king had made a commitment. The king's commitment was complete, with all of his heart, with all of his soul. They more or less made it a law that all the people were going to have to serve the Lord. So the people were doing it because it was required of them. But with the people, it wasn't a wholehearted commitment. Because the king was doing it, it became the popular thing. Go along with the crowd. And there are always those that will follow the movement. You know, whichever way the breeze is blowing, they're like a feather, they'll drift with it. They have no inertia on their own. No, you know, they just flow with the movement of the day, with whatever is vogue or popular. And so with the king serving God, it became the popular thing. And so, you know, everybody starts going to the temple again. This is when Jeremiah began his ministry. One of the first commissions that Jeremiah received from the Lord. And of course, if you would want to really gain something this week, along with the further reading here in Chronicles, if you would read the book of Jeremiah this week, you'll put it in its historic context. And I mean, the book of Jeremiah will just come alive to you like you've never realized before, because you'll have it now in the historic context. You'll think of Josiah, the renewing of the temple, the renewing of the temple worship and all. And in chapter 7 of the book of Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all ye of Judah that enter into these gates to worship Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. But trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh are these." Now, with the rebuilt temple, there were those people who were trusting in just the fact we have the temple again. They were trusting in that to be their deliverance. They were saying, because the temple is rebuilt and we're worshiping again, we don't have any more problems. We don't have to worry about judgment. But the Lord sent Jeremiah to stand at the gates as the people were coming into worship under this false sense of security. And he said, trust not in the lying vanities, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Because that's not what's going to save you. What's going to save you is your own personal commitment unto the Lord. People need to realize that. The church isn't going to save you. Attendance in church is not going to save you. Religious rites can never save you. And yet there are so many people trusting in those kinds of lying vanities. Well, I attend church regularly. I take communion. I observe the sacraments. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. But Jeremiah is saying, don't trust in that. You've got to make your own personal commitment unto the Lord. And I don't want you to rest under any kind of false security. It's your own personal commitment to Jesus Christ which is necessary. And anything less is a lying vanity, and don't trust in it. I think it's so tragic today that so many people are trusting in their church relationships or affiliations to save them. Your attendance here isn't going to save you. You've got to make your own personal commitment unto the Lord. So if you'll read Jeremiah, you'll get it in the context of the historic. It's a spiritual outward reform, surface reform. The king has made the commitment, but with the people, so many of them, it isn't a true commitment. It's just going along with the popular trend of things, and the king is serving the Lord, so we go to church and we clean up our act and we change a bit here. But it wasn't something that was happening in their hearts. Manifested by the fact that as soon as Josiah died, the people reverted back to the old ways and they began a plunge almost straight down after the death of Josiah, indicating that all they had was a surface reform, something that didn't get down into the very vitals of their being. And you'll hear it over and over as Jeremiah is lamenting these things, as Jeremiah is dealing with these issues of surface kind of commitment and the necessity for the deep heart commitment to God. But for Josiah the king, We've got to give him good points. He made those that were in Israel to serve, but that's the problem. You can't make men serve the Lord. That was the mistake of Josiah. He ordered that all the people serve the Lord. Well, they did in obedience to the order, but not from their hearts. And the only service that God counts is that service that comes from your heart. Not that which comes from duty or a sense of duty, or not that which comes from the sense of obligation, but only that which arises from your heart, from really the love that you have for him, is the only real, true motivation that God accepts. That which I do for him, motivated by my love for him, God enjoys. That which I do for him because I think, oh, well, I'm the pastor, I've got to. Yuck, you know. No rewards for that. God doesn't appreciate that. And God doesn't appreciate the service that comes from a heart that is resentful. You know, if I don't get it done, they're going to be bugging me again, and I hate to be bugged, you know. I guess I have to do it. Yo, no, you know. And no value. Only that which stems from my love for the Lord. As Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. That's the kind of service God accepts and God blesses. And so Josiah served the Lord with his heart. Good king. He made that commitment. I'm going to obey God with all my heart and with all my soul. I'm going to commit myself to serving the Lord. God accepted it and God blessed him. Then he said, all of you got to do it too. He was the king. So they started doing it, but not with the same heart. Theirs was only surface. And that's why Jeremiah was rebuking them while they were even going into the temple to worship God, because they were trusting in the wrong thing. They were trusting in the ritual of worship and not in the Lord himself. And so make sure that you can discern in your mind the difference between the ritual and the Lord himself. The ritual of worship and the Lord himself. So in chapter 35, Josiah kept the Passover unto Yahweh in Jerusalem. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Even as Hezekiah, when he initiated the reforms, began again the Passover, only they did it in the second month because they weren't prepared to do it in the first month. So now Josiah, it would seem that the whole spiritual reformation of the temple and all began about 6 months earlier, so that he was ready by the time the first of the year rolled around. They were ready to observe the Passover, so the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priest in their charges or in their places of duty. And he encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. And he said to the Levites that taught all of Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, the king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel. So he ordered that the Ark of the Covenant be brought back again and placed in the Holy of Holies. And prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your various courses in which you are to minister, according to the writing of David, the king of Israel, according to the writing of Solomon, his son. So each of the houses of the, or the families of the tribes of Levites, each family had a certain duty within the temple. And David appointed the families, which families would fulfill which duties within the temple. And so return again to these duties as David and Solomon had required. Stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren and the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites. And so kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And so let's begin again. this great feast to celebrate really God's deliverance of our people out of Egypt and God's keeping his promise and bringing us to this land, the birth of our nation. So Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and goats, all for the Passover offering, for all that were present to the number of 30,000. And so the king himself personally gave 30,000 lambs and goats to be offered in sacrifice at this Passover. Now, you remember that they would take really just the fat of the lambs and the goats, and they would burn it on the altar before the Lord, and then they would roast the meat, and they would have, it was time of feast. They called it the Feast of the Passover, and it was indeed a true feast. Everybody would feast for 7 days on the meat that was roasted, and then part of the meat they boiled. And the eating itself signified their communion and becoming one with their God. And so the king gave 30,000 out of his flock of lambs and goats, plus 3,000 bullocks, and these were from the king's substance. The princes also gave willingly unto the people, and to the priest, and to the Levites. Now, it doesn't tell us how many that the princes gave. Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jael, the rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priest for the Passover offerings. These came now from the priest, 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. That was the contribution of the high priest and of the rulers of the priesthood. Conaniah also and Shemaiah and Nethanel, his brethren, and these other fellows, and why bother with them? They gave 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment, and they killed the Passover. And the priest sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites butchered them or flayed them. And they removed the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto Yahweh as it is written in the book of Moses. And so they did with the oxen. So they took all of these animals, sacrificed them, cut and barbecued part of the meat. And verse 13, they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings they boiled in the pots and in the cauldrons and in the pans, and they divided them all up among the people. For 7 days, the Feast of the Passover, the provisions provided by the king, by the princes, as the people gathered from all over to worship the Lord here at the Feast of the Passover. And afterward, they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busy in the offering of the burnt offerings and the fat until the evening and the night. And therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. So they gave to the people, and then they hurried to prepare for the other priest. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David, Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seer. And the porters waited at every gate that they might not depart from their service, for their brethren the Levites prepared for them. And so the Levites were serving the people, and then after serving the people, serving themselves, serving the porters that were at the gates. So all of the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover, to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord, according to the commandment of King Josiah. All done according to the commandment. Again, the people were doing it, but not with a whole heart. Many of them, it was just, it was just the thing to do, but it wasn't really from their hearts. And so the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for 7 days. And there wasn't any Passover like this one that had been kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. I mean, even during the great glory days of David and Solomon, they had never had a Passover that would equal this one as far as the numbers of the animals and all that were sacrificed. And neither did all of the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah did. The judges did not, neither did the kings of Israel. And the priests and the Levites and all of Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, this Passover was kept. So he's still just a young man, 26 years old, but he's taking the country in the right direction. He's bringing them back into the consciousness of their relationship with God, that God rules over the people, and he's bringing them into that important consciousness.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the life and death of Josiah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May you experience the joy of the Lord this way, as his love fills your heart and as you make your commitment to serve God. In Jesus' name.
There is always an ever-present danger for Christians of being beguiled. That word reminds me of Eve. She had everything in the garden. She had fellowship with God. She had her husband all to herself, no competition whatsoever. And yet the serpent came to her.
The Word for Today is pleased to present Kay Smith's newest edition in her Bible study series for women, the Book of Colossians. Come alongside Kay as she exhorts women and teaches what the Bible says about these last days. Women will discover how to discern spiritual deception and comprehend correct biblical doctrine that leads to a renewed eternal perspective.
How grateful we are to you, Father, for how you teach us in your word to beware of the beguilers, how you warn us, how you help us, how you encourage us.
To order a copy for yourself or a friend, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673, or to see a sneak preview, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.